Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones, Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones, Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord. I'll stop now. But there is a picture, though, I want to show you. I don't know if you recognize any of these folks. This is James Weldon Johnson and the Delta Rhythm Boys. They actually recorded that song in the 1930s, I think. Garth, thanks. That was quite a time in the Delta for the Delta Rhythm Boys. They had seen signs posted on public drinking fountains, signs posted on public restrooms, and what did the signs say? Colored only, or white only. Later on, they would see protesters at lunch counters at Woolworths accosted and assaulted and arrested. They would see black students crossing lines to attend classes with white high school students. Stories about a woman on a bus thrown off because she sat too close to the front. Then would come fire hoses turned on marchers in Montgomery, Alabama. And then at the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, ooh. All the time, secretly and in the dark, these public spectacles of lynching, fields of death, fields of bodies, fields of bones, human bones, excruciating sadness and shame. In this great country, a kind of scar, a place of subjugation of some. Ezekiel cried to those dry bones. Ezekiel cried to those dry bones. Ezekiel cried to those dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to quit, really. I will. That song, the text, where did it come from? Ezekiel was among the first to be deported from Israel in 597 B.C., he was among the noble class. Ezekiel was one of those prophets who, along with the gentry and the wealthy, along with the artists and the moneyed class, he was hauled off to Babylon. There, along with artists and royals and the social elites of the day, in short, those who were educated, right? Those who had the advantage and the privilege, those who were, well, who had accrued to themselves a level of prestige and status. And in a culture of honor and shame, that was a pretty good deal. But even while they were off in that awful place, in that awful time, that desperate time, word came. Word came that the city has fallen. And they knew exactly what that meant. They knew that the temple had been razed, that the monarch had been put down, that the land had been despoiled, and all the signs of their identity and promise, all their confidence in God, all the hope that on their return, gone. Bones. Bones and bones. That word is important narratively in the book of Psalms. It's an important sort of theme. And if you trace it through, you see phrases like, my bones are wasting away. In another psalm, you see, my bones are shaking with terror. Or my bones burn like a furnace. Do you remember all the way back in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve? Adam is quite ecstatic at the prospect of a partner. In fact, he says, at last, what? Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Bones. An idiomatic phrase that really means something like my deepest me. This manner of speaking or singing, this manner of praying. The voice of the Spirit of the Lord says to Ezekiel, O mortal, can these bones live? And I have to wonder if Ezekiel stood there for a second trying to come up with a diplomatic answer. Oh Lord, only you know, he finally says. But I wonder if inside he was really saying to himself, are you kidding? Ezekiel preached to those dry bones. Ezekiel preached to those dry bones. Ezekiel preached to those dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. O mortal, can these bones live? We are in some ways, of course, asked to, well, the same question. So what do you think? Can they live? From our point of view, from our perspective, our country, our great land, our special legacy won for us in the hands of those who came so long before, a valley of dry bones. I suppose even those words conjure up things in our heads. Beyond the fun and the sort of childlike imagination of a catchy chorus that we might sing in Sunday school, we've seen such valleys, if only in photographs, grainy and black and white, photographs from scenes of our own Civil War, the dead littered across fields, ugly pictures. We've seen them. Or more recently from World War II or the killing fields of Southeast Asia, Iraq or Sudan or Somalia, valleys of bones. Just the words make us recoil because we know that something awful has happened there. Ezekiel troubled by the dry bones. Ezekiel troubled by the dry bones. Ezekiel troubled by the dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. At our house this last week, there's been good news and bad news. Our 1994 Honda was stolen again. a week ago, Saturday, Stephen came home from college. You know, it's spring break, and so we keep that little old car under the tree beside the house there. So he got home, and the sun was shining. So, Stephen, let's get it out. So we rolled it out from under the tree and got it started, and sure enough, it lit right off, and we scrubbed it down and put some more gas in it and parked it out front. And a week ago, Sunday morning, I got up early and looked out there. So I was late to church last Sunday because Everett's Finest and I were out in my front yard having a little conversation. Then late Friday, the phone rang again, and this is the bad news, they found it again. So we had to go down to the towing yard to get it, and of course it was busted up and gross. They had smashed into the ignition there, and the guy at the impound yard showed me how to poke a screwdriver in there and start it up. It ran totally out of gas, so we, schlepped it over and got some more stuff in it and got it home, and that's when we realized how ugly it all really was, because whoever had taken it was an addict, and we could tell. Was stuff left inside of it. There were things in the trunk that I didn't want to touch. This abstraction, this blight in our community, this sort of epidemic that we talk about, heroin and opioids, all of a sudden it was a little closer to home. All of a sudden it made me think a little bit more about people I know, that members of my own extended family. Remembered Ezekiel's lament, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are completely cut off. Dem bones, dem dry bones, them bones, them dry bones, them bones, them dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. O mortal, can these bones live again? It is a real question. It's a serious question. When I say the name Douglas John Hall, do you remember who I mean? Some of us have studied, some of us have read through his books in Lenten series and the rest. He's a theologian and a writer, one of my favorite. He says that the word of the cross is the most important word about God. You have to let that one sink in for a second. The word of the cross is the most important word about God, but then he adds, it is not the last word, though. For Lazarus, for Ezekiel, for Jesus, what's the last word? Life. A God bent on resurrection. From valleys of bones, from cotton fields in the south, from drought in Africa, God is still breathing. Breathing life for addicts and for sinners, for me, for you. God is here. Can you close your eyes just for a second? Don't go to sleep. Can you put your right hand on your chest and just inhale and exhale? We'll do it again. Inhale. Out a third time. Can these bones live again? Amen.